Your home for everything Arizona Cardinals. 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Big Red Monday with Burns and Gambo. Presented by Ramos Law Firm at RamosLaw.com.
Straight up 2 o'clock. On this Monday afternoon, good afternoon and welcome into today's edition of the Burns and Gambo Show here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. We are live from the Auction Community Studios. My name is Dave Burns alongside the one, the only, John Gambadoro, back from his vacation in which he went to South Carolina.
Sometimes you got to do the family stuff, right? And well, I had a nice time, right? I got to go see her, Chelsea's brother, and they just had a baby recently, and we got to go see the three kids and the wife, and so we went to South Carolina. It's different than the norm, right? I mean, last year at this time I was in Finland, the year before Switzerland, the year before Alaska. So, like, the South Carolina thing was just a little different for me, but it was fine. It was fine.
So when you rattle off your litany of places that you've been to, and
I like
things
cold
that
weather
you've
vacations.
Seen, your South Carolina is not going to be one of the things. South Carolina, because
one of these things is not like the other.
Well, I mean, Gambo, you've heard of name droppers? Gambo's a place dropper.
Oh God!
Well, you are. You're a place dropper.
Yeah.
You just rattle off every single place you've been to.
Not every one, just a couple.
Right.
Allow him to drop more places.
Oh, sure. You want me to tell you every place I've been? South Carolina is not going to be a place you're going to place drop anytime soon.
Put it this way: there's not going to be a photo that she blows up and puts on any of the walls of South Carolina.
Got it.
It's not going to be, you know, dog mushing and
no, there's no dog mushing in South Carolina.
Yeah, and you know,
there is no
pool at the Villa Honig.
But there's still some pretty scenic parts of South Carolina, right?
Charleston is stunning.
I vacationed at Hilton Head. Yeah, it's beautiful.
Listen, we were in Bluffton, South Carolina, and it is. I mean, there's trees and there's beaches and there's stuff that we don't have here. So yes, it is nice to see that stuff.
Wow,
because out here, like, everything's dead. It's all dead. Everything's just
welcome
dead.
Back, Gambo.
Wow.
Trees grow to about 2 feet taller than me, and then they stop.
Gambo's review of the state of Arizona is just everything's dead.
Everything's dead. Rocks.
Nothing's alive. Everything's dead. Everything's just
on the freeway. And
not growing.
My windshields break all the time.
Brown
landscape rocks.
Lots of dirt. Everything's dead. You know, everything's dead here in Arizona.
It's all dead.
Oh, well. Well, it's gonna have you and your infectious enthusiasm back in the seat.
Yeah,
let's weigh in on the top story of the day here on the Burns and Gambo Show.
Burns and Gambo, the weigh-in, brought to you by 3010 Weight Loss for Life.
We are gonna spend very, very, very little time, if any, talking about the actual game yesterday. 31-24, the Cardinals lose to the LA Rams to close out the season, because we are now already in. Okay, what's next mode, right? We're already thinking about the next move, the next plan, who's going to go where, who's going to do what. And some of those plans, Gambo, were revealed today when Cliff Kingsbury, in his final media availability, his sort of clean out the locker media availability today, answered one of the questions, and it was one of the questions that we've been asking on this show quite a bit the last couple of weeks, and one of the questions we've been providing an answer to. Vance Joseph will be back.
You said that you mentioned that the defense was top 10 in some metrics in the last 3 or 4 weeks of the season. Does that mean Vance will be back as defensive coordinator?
Vance will be back.
Vance will be back.
It's a theme that we've been saying for many weeks on this show, me and you. They were not going to change a defensive coordinator, and they weren't going to change a GM, and we had a good feeling about it on our show, and we've talked about this for many, many weeks, that they're not changing Vance. And I told everybody who tweeted at me, they're not getting rid of Vance Joseph. I mean, they want some continuity. You had two guys make the Pro Bowl this year. Chandler Jones had a great year. Buda Baker had a great year. They played a lot of young kids. They had some, you know, unfortunate things not go their way. Darius Filon, Robert Comdici, Robert Alford. They need to fix the player, the personnel part needs to be fixed. And then we could really judge Vance Joseph. But they did come on at the end of the season. They played better. A lot of it had to do with, you know, as you said before in the show prep, Patrick Peterson, you know, playing better, and that helped a lot. But I do think that it's personnel. I think they need better players for Vance to be able to have a better defense.
Yeah, as with all things, and I think the question it comes down to for guys like us is to we can talk about, okay, we've been telling you for a couple of weeks this was going to happen. Should this have happened? Should they have given greater consideration? Are we happy that, okay, Vance Joseph's going to be back? Are we happy that Vance Joseph is going to be back? Because that's a different question and maybe a different answer. Are we happy?
You're not jumping for joy
that Vance is back.
Defense is one of the worst defenses in the NFL. It's not like anybody wants him. Somebody's going to look for him to be their head coach because he had such a great year. So are people happy? Oh, Vance Joseph's back. That's great. No, nobody's like that. They want some continuity. They want to give it another year. They want to see what he can do with different personnel. Jumping for joy.
Let me rephrase.
Okay.
Let me rephrase the question. Is this the right move for the Cardinals to keep Vance
at this
Joseph?
Time, yes.
Okay. Maybe
at this time
maybe
it is.
Happy
yeah.
was a little strong. Is this the yeah. right move to keep Vance Joseph as defensive
coordinator? Look, a couple of things I know from talking to different players. Cliff likes him. Okay. Cliff likes him and Cliff respects him. Got to have that. So he's got a defensive coach that he likes and he respects. They got to get better players. They need better players. Because, look, Vance Joseph wasn't here last year at this time, and the defense was terrible. Okay, the defense was terrible. Steve Wilkes' defense was not very good. And Vance Joseph wasn't the defensive coordinator for that defense. So is it the right move? Yeah, I think it's the right move. Okay, I don't know for sure, but like my opinion, I think you bring Vance back for another year. You get him better players. You see what he can do.
Continuity is the big word here. And Cliff Kingsbury used it today when asked about keeping Vance Joseph and whether that's important or not on the defensive side of the ball.
I do. I think continuity is huge when you look at the top organizations out there and how they've been able to keep assistant coaches and keep top players and homegrown players. I think that's a big part of it. I'm just really excited to have these players back in the same systems in all three phases moving forward in the offseason.
He was also asked the question when he decided he wanted Vance to stay on.
Yeah, I never wavered on that. I just, his approach, you know, knowing what I know of him and watching him work and the things I saw from the first day I was with him, I knew that I wanted him to be here.
And I think that soundbite speaks directly to the news that you had reported, I don't know, 2-3 weeks ago, or at least the strong opinion that you had suggested that Vance Joseph was not going anywhere. Like, this was a debate for the fans to have. This was a debate for the media to have. But it was never a debate for them to have in the organization.
No.
It was not a debate they were having about Vance Joseph.
Look, you know, listen, sometimes we know things in advance. Sometimes we hint at it. And Vance Joseph coming back was something that we strongly hinted at, that Vance was going to come back. Same thing with Steve as the GM. We weren't saying that these guys are going to be gone because we had a really strong feeling of knowledge that they weren't going to be gone. I don't think there was ever a time where they were like, okay, what do we do with Vance? So we get who's going to be? They weren't looking at new defensive coordinators and figuring out who could come here. Vance was the guy. He wasn't going anywhere. The losing streak after they won the 3 in a row, what was it, a 7-game losing streak? Was that what it was?
Yeah.
How many in a row was it? Was it 7? That does a lot of damage, right? I mean, that does a lot of damage because you're losing. And we're like, oh my God, they haven't won a game since before Halloween. I remember those conversations? Wow. It's been 2 months since they won a football game. Last win was before Halloween. Like, we
six,
went through
six.
Okay, six in
Sorry,
a row.
Six. I thought it was six.
And but like that takes a toll on you. And when that is happening, you are looking and dissecting everything. Well, this guy's got to go, and that guy's got to go, and this guy's got to fire, and that guy's got to get fired. And did they right the ship at the end of the season? Sure, of course they did. I mean, yeah, of course. The win over Cleveland, the win over Seattle. I mean, those helped right the ship in many ways. I still don't think that even if they would have lost those games, that they were firing Vance Joseph. I think the intention was always to bring Vance back and get him better players.
Yeah, I think the way they finished strong had something to do with it. And had the defense finished, now I know they gave up 31 points to the Rams yesterday, but the Cardinals as a whole, I think, did better defensively against the Rams, certainly than they did the first time they played. I think the Cardinals were at like 5.4 yards per play yesterday. I think the first time they played the Rams, they were like at 7.2 yards per play. They were much better defensively against the Rams. I do think, and this is just my opinion here, that had the defense closed the season the last 3 or 4 games of the year the way they started it, I believe we're having a different conversation today. I really do. But from the Cleveland game on, they looked better. They looked more focused. I think a lot of it had to do with Patrick Peterson and the effort that he was expending.
I agree with that.
On a game-in, game-out basis. Vance Joseph simplified the defense greatly, took a lot of the stuff out to make it easier for the guys to kind of react to what was going on in front of them. Had the last three games gone the way the first 13 games had gone defensively, again, this is my opinion, I think we're having a different conversation today. But because they closed better, because they showed some heart, because Patrick Peterson played like Patrick Peterson is able to play, I think that allowed the conversation to shift and focus into making it a whole lot easier to keep Vance Joseph. This decision would have been very difficult had they played those last three games the way they played the first 13.
We're seeing changes all over the NFL, right? We're seeing changes in Cleveland. We're seeing changes with the Giants. There's definitely, you know, Cardinals haven't announced it, but there's some changes on their coaching staff.
Well, they've already, I mean, yeah, they
haven't announced
they
it.
They haven't announced
it. But it's out there. Oh, there'll be two coaches, I think, are getting let go by the Arizona Cardinals. One is a defensive line coach, uh-huh, and the other one is a special teams coach.
Yeah. D-line coach Chris Achuff and assistant special teams coach Randall McCray. Today, Cliff Kingsbury was asked to confirm those firings, and he would not.
There was just a report that you guys have fired Chris Achuff and Randall McCray. Can you confirm that?
I'm not going to confirm that right now.
But I'm sure it will come down at some point. Maybe other minor staff changes as well. But at least two guys losing their jobs. I can't reiterate this enough. Patrick Peterson and the way he played, that changed the whole defense. When he plays like that, other guys follow. When he plays with that effort and with that energy and with that kind of level, other guys follow. The rising tide raises all ships, and it did for the
Cardinals. Now, next year's the final year of his contract.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm not expecting a contract extension for Patrick Peterson. So I think they'll ride this thing out, and he'll play next year, and then he'll be a free agent, and they'll decide if they want to keep him or if he ends up going somewhere else. So I don't think that's a guy. There'll be several players they look to re-sign. I'm not sure they do an extension with Patrick Peterson. I don't think so. Double check on it, but I don't think so.
Vance Joseph is coming back to the Cardinals next season. So what about David Johnson? We'll get into that next on the Burns and Gambo Show here at 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Big Red Monday with Burns and Gambo. Presented by Ramos Law Firm and RamosLaw.com. Your home for everything Arizona Cardinals. 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
Once upon a time, not that long ago, the Cardinals season ended in Los Angeles, and our last image of David Johnson was him was him being helped off the field because we all thought he blew out his knee. Remember that?
Yes.
Yesterday, our last image of David Johnson also came in Los Angeles, but under far, far different circumstances. I saw the pictures, and so did you, standing on the sideline. Helmet not even in hand, sitting with Andy Lee on the bench, no intention whatsoever of getting
into
the game.
Corner in Winslow, Arizona.
He was the invisible man yesterday. He did not register a single snap in yesterday's game.
Yeah,
not
this is
one.
I mean, this is over. It's just a matter of, can they find a trade partner now? I truly believe that Tampa, based on my conversations, is interested and would be interested in acquiring David Johnson. And I've been hinting at this for a while. They would give up a late round pick, probably like a fifth rounder, maybe even a sixth rounder. And the Cardinals would eat some of that guaranteed salary. And then Bruce Arians would bring in David Johnson to be his third down back. He'd be great on third down. They need a third down back. Jones didn't work out very well for them, Ronald Jones. So I think that it could get done. I think it's two parties that want to get a deal done. It's just a matter of making it work. So I do think Bruce would take him, and I do believe that the Cardinals would have to take about half of that salary on, probably about half, and that they'd get something back, a later round pick back, to move David Johnson to Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay is the only team I know of that makes sense and that has interest. So I don't expect David Johnson back next year unless there's no pathway to trading him. But I do think there is one, and it's Tampa.
Well, the financial ramifications of it, and this is where things get kind of wonky with the salary cap. And quite frankly, these are things that I'll need to I'll need to work to understand the further the offseason goes along. I have no idea what the cap implications are if you trade a player like David Johnson. Absolutely none. How much dead money does it count? How much room does it take up? How much space does it eat? I know that he is guaranteed $10.2 million in salary next year, and that if he's on the Cardinals roster on March 20th, he automatically gets $2 million of his 2021 salary guaranteed and locked in. So it would behoove you not to have him on your roster before March 20th so that you don't have to owe him an additional $2 million guaranteed.
That's way before the draft.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
It's way before the draft.
So you got to get something done way before the draft.
It's also about a week or so after. I don't know the exact date free agency is going to start. Usually free agency begins around the beginning of March or so. So
unless
it's right
you're looking
around the
at
time
it,
free agency
unless,
begins.
Unless you're looking at it like 10.2 and 2.1 is 12.3, and we're going to have to pay half of that no matter what. So you just let it go. You trade them closer to the draft. The 2.1 is guaranteed. The 10.2 is guaranteed. And you tell Tampa or another team, if somebody else is interested, we'll pick up this much of it.
And you know what? Other teams' willingness to get involved on David Johnson might grow with your willingness to eat some of that salary if you're the Cardinals, right? I mean, we keep talking about Tampa and only Tampa and just Tampa. If the Cardinals show a willingness to swallow some of that salary, I would think other teams might be interested.
You could begin negotiating with free agency March 16th, 2020.
March 16th is when you can
sign on March 18th, but you can begin negotiations on the 16th.
Okay, yeah. $2.1 million of his 2021 salary fully guarantees on March 20th of 2020. So his 2021 salary, $2 million of it, gets locked in on March of this year.
Doesn't prevent a deal. It doesn't prevent a deal from getting done. Listen, he knows the offense of Tampa. He knows the coaching staff. He'd be a piece for them, an ideal matchup guy out of the backfield, third down guy. They've got Jones. He showed some flashes at times. He grew up a lot. He's got a lot of potential. Barber was a solid guy, but wasn't a home run guy. I think Barber's going to be a free agent. It would make sense for them to bring in David Johnson. Look, you know, David Johnson was good for Bruce that one year. He was. He's not, David Johnson's not the toughest guy out there, but that year he was good for them. So I do think that something can get done. I'd almost be surprised if it doesn't, because there's no room for him here. There's no way to, like, they don't want him. I mean, it's obvious. What else do you need to know? I mean, if you go back and you play Cliff Cuts from 3-4 weeks ago, we're going to find a way to get him involved. We're going to be like, no, you're not. No, you're not.
Yeah.
No, I'm serious. Go find a cut from Cliff talking about David Johnson 4 weeks ago.
It wouldn't be that hard to do. It'd be very easy to find, and it was all lip service.
It was
100% lip service.
It was exactly what we said. No, you're not. Cliff, you're not.
They were never going to find a way to play him. Yesterday, it was very obvious they had no desire to do so whatsoever. Today, Cliff Kingsbury was asked if Kenyon Drake is going to be back.
That's another discussion we'll have. I mean, I thought he'd made big steps. I think with an entire offseason in our system, he has a chance to really, really take off. But we got to sit down with personnel, kind of see where we're at with those three guys.
He was really punting on the running back issue today. He was asked if there's room for three running backs to even get the ball.
Yeah, I mean, that remains to be seen. I didn't do a great job of it this year, but like I said, Kenyon got hot, and we wanted to give him a chance to be the guy and feel like he played his best football when he was the guy and got the majority of the carries. But yeah, I mean, I've had three in college. I know it's a different game, but it's just a matter of finding ways to use them.
But why work so hard to find a way to get three running backs involved when you don't want to? Right? Here's Cliff. I did a really poor job of getting three running backs involved. You know what? I don't want you to do a great job at that. You shouldn't have to do a great job at that. That shouldn't be your job. You shouldn't. No, you don't want three running backs, and you know you don't want three running backs. So don't try to. It'd be like me kicking myself. Yeah, I know. I didn't make a 5-star meal for my wife for dinner last night. I don't make 5-star meals for my wife every single night. I'm not going to kick myself for not doing it. It's just not. It's not Cliff's job. It's not it's his job, but that's not the ingredients that he needs to cook with every single Sunday, and he knows it.
He's also not going to knock the player because they're going to try to trade.
Sure, of course.
So he's not going to sit there and say, well, here's why we didn't play David Johnson, and give you all the reasons. There's a reason they didn't play David Johnson. They're not going to tell you, and they're not going to tell anybody because they're going to try to trade him.
Right.
So there's no reason for Cliff to come out and say, you know what? Yeah, I mean, we just can't play three running backs. And clearly he's bad. Like He's our fourth running back. Like, they're not going to say anything like that. It was all lip service 4 weeks ago.
Sure.
I'd love for you to find a cut down the road during today's show. We're going to find a way to get him involved. We're going to find a way to get... We just got... No, Cliff, no. No, like, I'm telling you now, you're lying. You're not. You're not playing him. You're not playing him. They don't want him. They don't want him here. He's gone. Drake did a good job. Drake did a really good job for them. Now, I think they'll be able to re-sign him. I think... Depends on how much money he wants.
The look on your face when you said I think the second time just scared me a little bit. Are you sure you think?
I think that they want to pay him around $5 or $6 million a year. Running backs though are just they're just different, right?
Okay, we talked about this while you were gone.
All right, go ahead.
We looked at the salaries for the running backs.
Yeah.
You're either in the Todd Gurley, Lev Bell, David Johnson group.
Oh, you're making $4 million a year.
Or you're not. And if unless you think Kenyon Drake belongs in that group, I don't think you have to worry about Drake taking up much more than $6 or $7 million a year. I think that's the most. This is my guess. This is my guess looking at it. But unless you think Drake belongs in the truly elite group of highest paid running backs in this league, there's a big gap, man. You're either in that club or you're not. And if you're not in that club,
he's not in that club.
You're not. I don't think you really need to worry that much about the dollars Kenyon Drake's going to get because he's not in that club.
And you know what he has here? The opportunity. You're the guy. You're the guy. You're the starting running back. Like they want you. Like they want to keep you. And we talked about this a few weeks ago. The reason to play Kenyon Drake and not play David Johnson at all to show him you're the guy.
Sure.
That was part of it.
Sure.
Why is David Johnson not playing? We latched on to this a few weeks ago, me and you. David Johnson's not playing because they're trying to do everything they can to show Kenyon Drake that no, there's no splitting time here. You are the number one running back on this team. You're going to get your 20-something touches a game.
They were wooing him even back then. Here's that cut you were looking for from Cliff Kingsbury from a few weeks ago.
I don't believe so. I think David can be in the backfield. He can motion out and do things from a wide receiver set. I mean, he can do it all. So our views on how we use him and where he goes haven't changed.
You got another one for me?
I wouldn't use the term bench. Kenyon was the hot hand, and we're going to play the guy that we feel like is gives us the best chance at that time, and game plans change, and roles will change. But no, David is a part of this offense, and we have to find a way to make sure he's playing at a high level and we can give him the football.
November 18th.
Oh, my God.
November 18th was when he said that.
Oh, my God. Come on. And what did we say when he said that? What did we say? Me and you.
We're like, right.
Okay.
That was after the San Francisco game. That was right before the bye week. That was after the San Francisco game.
Right. He's out, and Clip said, if anybody wants to buy a bridge in Brooklyn, I got one for you.
So let's.
How much you got?
Okay.
It's yours.
So let's look at from that moment on, just for fun. All right. I'm looking at, I know, I got to take a break. Let me look at David Johnson's game logs from that moment on. Okay. After he said that. Here are the numbers of carries that David Johnson got per game. 4, 3, 3, 2, and 0 last week. Yesterday, because he got 0 snaps.
Because they don't want him, and they wanted to prove to Kenyon Drake.
So since Cliff Kingsbury, he's not benched. He's not benched.
Yeah.
4 carries, 3 carries, 2 carries, 3 carries. Yeah.
Keep that in mind when Cliff talks. He's not going to bash the player, but he wasn't playing him.
We have been down this road before. But according to reports, one of Devin Booker's best friends and one very good player might soon become available. No, not that one. That's next on the Burns and Gambo Show.
The Burns and Gambo Need to Know Twitter Poll, presented by Sanderson Ford.
For the first time in about a week and a half, we have the whole team back together today. Gambo is back. Sarah Cazell is back after being under the weather Christmas week. Boy, that must have been a lot of fun.
A blast.
I'm sure. And Jordan Bird, of course, is with us. We've got the team. And don't get too used to it because we got Sun Bowl tomorrow, New Year's Day the day after that. I'm taking a couple days off at the end of this week, so this will be our one show this week of all four of us together. But I'm sure Gambo and the crew will put on a fine, fine show.
I'm back.
New Year's. Yes.
More vacation time for me.
So what do we got for poll questions today? We've got two. Let's start with the Cardinals one first, because the second one leads right into what we're about to talk about.
Sounds good. All right. Our Cardinals poll for today, it's very simple. Larry Fitzgerald, is he an Arizona Cardinal in 2020? Not what do you want? Because we know most people want that. What do you think? Yes or no?
No.
No.
But man, I don't know. I don't know. I just, it's straight gut.
I don't know. I said yes before.
I don't know.
I'll go yes, because I said yes on Bickley Murata. Let's go yeah. I don't know. I really don't know.
It wavers segment by segment.
God, seriously, in the last 40 minutes, you changed your mind?
No, I'm going to go with yes.
You're going to go with yes?
Okay.
I'm going to say
I think
no.
He liked money too much.
Gambo, you are with the majority. Okay. 84% of our voters think that Fitz will be a Cardinal in 2020. Granted, a lot of people struggle to separate what they want with what they think will actually happen. So, yeah, so 84% say yes, Fitz will be a Cardinal in 2020. Only 16% say no.
Damn. I base it off of nothing other than, honestly, how philosophical he was about retiring a few weeks ago when they asked him about it. He seemed like he got pretty deep about whether he wanted to or whether he didn't. But I don't know. Second question?
All right, our second question. There's a report that came out from The Athletic yesterday that says Carl Anthony Towns is believed to be unhappy in Minnesota.
Oh, my God.
Shut the front door,
baby.
If you're the Phoenix Suns, would you give up DeAndre Ayton as part of a trade package?
Yes. Yes.
For Carl Anthony Towns.
I just cut you off. Yes.
Fair enough.
Yes.
That one is also pretty definitive. 86% say yes. And one of our listeners...
He's a top five player at his position in the entire NBA.
One of our listeners...
He's a matchup nightmare. He shoots the threes as good as anybody. He's young. It's not like you're getting an older player.
Sure.
And in order to win, you need to have guys that are like top five at their positions in the game, and he would have you help you have two of them now.
What did one of our listeners say?
One of our listeners, Jared at Phoenix HXC, he says he would trade DeAndre Ayton for a ham sandwich at this point.
Well, I don't feel... There's nothing against the Ayton. I mean,
it depends on where the ham sandwich is from. come on.
Is it Black Forest ham? Is it lightly cured ham?
Boar's head,
or is it Oscar Mayer? What kind of ham are we talking about?
That was definitely the more sarcastic of the responses, but the overwhelming majority were just like, yes, why are you asking me? Yes,
There is not an asset in my organization other than Devin Booker that would not be available for Carl Anthony Towns. I'm talking about future draft picks. I'm talking about present players. You can have anything your heart desires in my organization, not named Devin Booker, for Carl Anthony Towns. With no doubt, none, zero.
I would do it too. He signed a big contract, so he's under contract. He is... I'm going to look at his age right here. He's 24 years old.
Kid.
Carl Anthony Towns trade rumors. Warriors monitoring T-Wolves star situation. Report, Carl Anthony Towns unhappy in Minnesota.
Yeah, let me read where this is coming from.
It's everywhere.
It's coming. It started with the New York Post is reporting on it, and The Athletic is reporting on it as well. And I believe this is coming from the Warriors Athletic beat writer, right? So the Athletic website, the person who covers the Warriors for them, Sherwood, I believe, is
Ethan
the name.
Strauss.
Ethan Strauss. Okay, thank you.
Close enough.
Every plausible team is keyed in on Giannis Antetokounmpo, whose future may be determined by whatever happens in these upcoming playoffs. The Warriors have been monitoring Carl Anthony Towns' situation in Minnesota. He's under contract until 23-24.
What the hell are they going to give him?
But has less reason than Antetokounmpo to be thrilled with his team's trajectory. This was a topic among multiple team executives at the recent G League showcase, with a few relaying word that Towns is unhappy in Minnesota. The Wolves currently sit at 13th in the Western Conference, two spots ahead of the gap year Warriors, who are looking at another lost season. While the Warriors might dream of a scenario where Russell teams up with his good friends Towns, the Warriors have a differing vision of how a trade between the two franchises could shake out.
What can they give him? D'Angelo Russell? What can the Warriors give him?
But that's the whole point of what he just wrote, is that they want to team him up with D'Angelo Russell because they're buddies, like Devin Booker. The three of them are boys. We know that. We've known that for a long time.
Now, their draft pick this year is going to be phenomenal. Golden State's draft pick.
Sure.
But the Suns are going to have a good draft pick, too.
Yes, they are.
So if you're Golden State, you could sell them on you're going to get this first-round pick. But if you're going to go get a player like Carl Anthony Towns, listen, nobody shoots the three better than him from the big man spot. He's not a good defensive player. You can match him up. He could go up against Embiid. He can go up against the best players at their position. Like, I don't know what Ayton's going to become. And I've always said this. The only way that Ayton could ever be better than Karl-Anthony Towns is if he becomes just a force defensively, unlike anything we've seen. Because he can't be better than him offensively. He can't be. There's no way. So he would have to be much better defensively, like an anchor on that defense. Whether Ayton could be that or not, I'm not sure. I have my doubts. But I know what Karl-Anthony Towns is right now, and he's a 24-year-old 7-foot monster who shoots threes.
He's a career 40% shooter from the three-point
line. Nobody shoots the three better than him.
He's 39.6% in his career. He's actually shooting about 42% from the three-point line this year, all while averaging 26.5 points per game, all while averaging 11.5 rebounds per game. Yeah, he's a monster. He's an absolute monster. And if he is truly unhappy in Minnesota, and if he's unhappy with the direction of the organization and where they're going,
Kevin Garnett, get out of there.
And if he does want to play with one of his buddies, and this is Devin Booker on the Bickley and Murata show on November 17th, this is a couple years old, but at the beginning of the interview, they asked Book, who are your best friends in the NBA?
All right, who are your best friends across the NBA, and can you talk any of them to come to Phoenix and play with you?
Carl Towns, one of my college teammates, one of my good teammates.
I'll take him.
I'll definitely take him. But, you know, right now, you know, the way the new CBA is set up, you know, it's hard to make, you know, teams happen that early.
Remember there was it Slam Magazine at the beginning of the year that did that cover story on D'Angelo Russell?
Russell didn't want to leave the photo shoot.
That's right, because, man, I just want to hang with my boys. I want to hang here with my guys. I don't want to leave, right? I mean, the three of them, they're tight. And I know what you had to say about D'Angelo Russell. Everybody knows what you had to say about D'Angelo Russell.
Oh, my God, I know.
But this is different.
Aged 3 years because of D'Angelo Russell.
This is too that's too bad because it was good stuff. I hate to hear that it took such a toll on you. But
because it lasted so long. It was the entire offseason. I mean, at the D'Angelo Russell thing lasted forever.
But this is different.
This is different. I would do this. I wouldn't have done D'Angelo Russell. I wouldn't have done it. Put all the money in the backcourt with two guys that are ball dominant and need the ball down. I mean, listen, they needed a point guard. And Ricky Rubio is a good point guard for what they need. He's not... But Ricky Rubio is not even a top 10 player at his position. I like Ricky. You can win with Ricky, but he can't be your first, second, or third best player. Karl-Anthony Towns immediately becomes Booker and him, they go to the playoffs with Karl-Anthony Towns. They go to the playoffs. They do. They're a playoff team.
Sure.
Now, and if Oubre
and with
keeps
the development of some players around them,
sure,
they become
they be really
an
good.
Upper crust Western
this
Conference
is a playoff team. This is a playoff team with Karl-Anthony Towns. There's no question in my mind it's a playoff team. He's 24 years old. So we're not talking about trading a guy that's 22 for a guy that's 30. Right? We're not looking at adding somebody that's 28 or 29 or 30. This guy lines up exactly with where you want to be and what you want to do. I mean, this is... Now you're gonna have to give up more than Ayton. You're gonna have to give up more than Ayton. You probably have to give up Ayton and maybe McHale and maybe even a first round pick.
Done.
To get right, we do it too.
Done.
Sign on a dotted line.
Done.
Let's go.
Okay, make it happen. By the way, speaking of Ayton, Suns are in Portland tonight, taking on the Trailblazers. Yesterday, DeAndre Ayton was listed as out. This sound from Monty Williams, courtesy of Dwayne Rankin over at azcentral.com and his Twitter account. Monty leaves the door open for DeAndre Ayton to play tonight.
Every day you feel like he's got the chance to get back on the floor, so we'll see how he responds to the pregame treatments and talk to the docs and medical people and make our assessment tonight.
So he's not playing tonight, though, right?
We don't know right now. We'll see. James and I talked a lot yesterday, talking to Brady. We got to see how he responds to, because he went full bore this morning in shoot around. So he seems to be getting much better.
DeAndre Ayton has officially been upgraded to questionable for tonight's game. Suns ended their long losing streak over the weekend by beating the Sacramento Kings on Saturday night. Thank God.
Yeah, that was a terrible losing streak. Did a lot of damage. I mean, it really puts their chance of getting to the playoffs. And I know they're only a few games out, but you can't have losing streaks like that and be a playoff team. It's very hard.
The season is over. And now, like we have for five straight years now, we all must wait. Was yesterday Larry Fitzgerald's last game as a member of the Cardinal organization. We'll talk about it coming up on the Burns and Gambo Show.
Big Red Monday with Burns and Gambo, presented by Ramos Law Firm at RamosLaw.com. Your home for everything Arizona Cardinals, 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
5-win season, I can't remember having as much joy in the process, you know, only winning 5 games, but being around these coaches, the teammates, the way they work every day, you know, how serious they take football. You know, it had been very easy for a lot of guys, young guys who have never experienced the NFL. You know, when we were eliminated from the playoffs, you know, early December, to pack it in, but that never was the case. You know, guys pushed through. Perfect example today was Kyler, man. I mean, he could have very easily set the day out. What am I playing for? You know, we're out of the playoffs. What am I going to go out there and risk it for? And he came out and threw for 300 yards, stayed in there against premier pass rusher of the National Football League and Aaron Donald. I mean, that just shows a lot of character, and you know, and I think guys see that and want to play with him.
Larry Fitzgerald, that sound courtesy of azcardinals.com, the team website. Quote, for a 5-win season, I can't remember having as much joy in the process. The atmosphere, the positivity, I think it's a lot of different reasons, but it's been a great year, close quote. Do we use that quote? Do we use Larry Fitzgerald's joy as a hint or a clue as to what Fitz is going to do and what he's going to decide this offseason?
No.
Tell me why.
Because I think Fitz has proven over the years that, I mean, nothing matters, right? It didn't matter if Carson was coming back. It didn't matter if B.A. was coming back. Like, every time you try to tie something to Larry, that's never the case. I think Larry goes by his own accord. And, you know, if he had fun, he's going to say, I had fun. I had fun this year. That doesn't mean I'm coming back, but I had fun. You know, the whole thing was with the three tied together, Carson, Palmer, and B.A. No, they were never tied together. We talked about that at the time. Fitz wasn't tied to those guys. His coming back had nothing to do. Oh, maybe he won't want to go through another young quarterback again. Went through Josh Rosen and now Kyler Murray 2 years in a row.
Right.
Fitz will make up his own mind, and I don't think that you can read anything into anything that you want to. Human nature.
Sure.
Ooh, that sounded like he wants to come back.
Sounded optimistic. It sounded positive. It sounded fun.
Could announce his retirement tomorrow. I mean, I just don't think that you can read into Larry Fitzgerald, because I think that he truly is one of those rare guys. I'm going to take some time and see how I feel. I'll make my decision in a few weeks. And somebody asked him an honest question. He said, I had fun this year. I had fun.
Yeah. He was also asked yesterday, again, this is courtesy of azcardinals.com, and he thought that this might be it for you yesterday in Los Angeles.
You can't have those type of thoughts in your mind. Not for me. For me to be able to focus and be able to play the way I'm capable of playing, I can't think about that. I got to stay completely in the moment. And, you know, that's where I'm best served and at my best.
And you're right. Look, we're all guessing at this point. Patrick Peterson said yesterday after the game, and he's very good friends with Fitz, obviously. He said after the game, I'd bet my last dollar that Larry Fitzgerald comes back. Now, I do put a little bit of stock into that, because I think Patrick knows Fitz, is friends with Fitz, right? And might have some knowledge, deep-seated knowledge of what Fitz's thinking is. But somebody asked me yesterday, I wrote about this on the site when we did our instant reaction to the game. My hunch is that this is it for Larry Fitzgerald. If for no other reason other than I kind of feel like when everybody expects Larry to zig, he zags, right? When everybody thinks, oh, he's not coming back, he does.
Okay.
Everything is set for him to want to come back, and I don't know, I just have this weird, funny feeling he's not going to.
Listen,
I can't explain it.
He's not the same player, okay? He's going to be 37 years old by the time next season starts. He'll be 37 when next season starts. He's an older player. He's been playing in this league since 2004, for goodness sakes.
Mm-hmm.
But he's not an embarrassment. He's good. He's still a good player.
He was their leading receiver.
Yeah.
Far from an embarrassment.
Yeah. 75 catches, 804 yards. Last year, 734 yards. But this is a guy who had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9,000 yard seasons.
Mm-hmm.
Last year, 734. This year, 804. So he's had seasons which he had close to that many. You know, those two, that's 1,500 yards. He had seasons where 1, 2, 3, 4 seasons we had 1,400 yards.
Sure.
Not the same player. We all can admit that. He is not the same, but he's still good.
Mm-hmm.
He's just not a superstar anymore.
Nope.
He's not a Pro Bowl wide receiver anymore. He's not the best wide receiver in the game anymore.
But that's okay.
So I'm saying he's not an embarrassment. He's not. Larry Fitzgerald isn't catching 30 balls for 400 yards. He's still out there catching 75 passes. It's good.
Mm-hmm.
And he'll go out there next year and catch 60 to 75 for 700 or 800 yards. But Like the 1,000-yard days are probably over. I mean, it's probably hard for him to get back to that, I think, my opinion. But it's not like he's just hit this wall and he's an embarrassment. You need to get out because you're humiliating yourself. That's not the case. He's still a good football player.
Yeah, I don't know if he's $11 million good, but I don't know if that matters.
We debated that because there's another avenue with Larry Fitzgerald. And what does he mean to the team? What does he mean to ticket sales? What does he mean to jersey sales? What does he mean to the fans? What does he mean just being a part of this organization? There is a value. There is a number value sure. there.
And I was just talking about the football player and not all that other stuff. There's no doubt that Larry Fitzgerald's presence on the roster is worth more than $11 million per year to Michael Bidwell. And that's the other thing you have to consider, too. This is not a Cliff Kingsbury decision. This is not a Steve Keim decision. This is a Michael Bidwell decision. And if Fitz wants to come back and Michael wants him back, it doesn't matter what anybody else thinks.
Bypasses everybody, goes right to Michael.
Of course. It doesn't matter whether somebody in the football ops department thinks Larry Fitzgerald is not worth $11 million as a football player. It's not going to matter because they're going to want to bring him back and they're going to want because his value to the organization goes way beyond just as a football player. And to be honest with you, $11 million might be kind of cheap for a player of Larry Fitzgerald's stature in this marketplace. His popularity is still immense after all these years. It's hardly wavered at all. I don't even know if it's wavered at all. $11 million? Michael would sign that check right now if he knew Fitz was coming back.
You can make an argument that he's worth it. You can make an argument that his production isn't worth it. Everybody wants to see. Almost everybody wants to see. I can't imagine a fan being like, oh, I don't want Larry Fitzgerald back. Well, why? Like, he's still good.
Yeah.
He's still good. He doesn't have to be. And I heard Vince Marotta talking about this because he predicted that Christian Kirk would lead the NFL in reception yards this year. Kirk hasn't jumped to that role, and I don't think Kirk can. They need a number one.
Yeah.
So if you get a number one and Kirk is your number two and Fitz is your number three, he's fine. He's fine. He could even be your number two, but he's not a number one wide receiver anymore.
I'm a little worried about Kirk, to be honest with you. I had bigger expectations for Christian Kirk
really?
This year. Yep, I did. His numbers weren't special, right? I mean, his number, go look at his numbers. Bulk of them came in that one game where he had the 3 touchdown catches. He did not have, especially given that he was operating in a system that was designed for a player like him, right? Familiarity within a system for a player like him, he didn't have that great of a year.
Yeah, I think maybe you thought that he would bust.
I thought
out.
He was going to take a jump this year. He hasn't.
He's good.
When I say worried about him, I'm not worried about him like, oh my God, this guy's a bust worried about him. But I thought he was going to show better in 2019 than he did. I'm very comfortable saying that.
I'll tell you what I really liked these last few weeks is that Damiah Byrd. Man.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, he's got a role on this team for me. I like him.
Yep.
He's quick.
He showed
out
very well.
He's played well.
The Arizona Diamondbacks made it official earlier today. Cole Calhoun is their new right fielder. He is coming home. How excited is he about that? You'll hear how excited he is next on the Burns and Gambo Show.